Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brennan. Go by SEC Mike, go on the Twitters. And there's our favorite stuffed animal, finger painted cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, you're looking good, man.
Oh, man. I got these on. It's like, hey, you got that stuff to take it off? And my wife, she's looked around. She says, you ain't gonna believe this. I said, damn, we should have went and got that first, don't you think? So after here, I got to go in there with gloves on and try to get this nail polish shit off. Oh, my gosh.
Can you remind the cousins why you got that on? I don't want to lose any of them right off the top here.
Yeah, because as everybody knows, Alabama's star wide receiver paints his nails and walks into the games with a stuffed animal. And I said, there is no way that Georgia is going to lose this game. If it were to happen, I would do the same. And here I am. Damn you, Mike Bobo. Damn you to hell.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a good look for you, buddy. But
What a day, Mike. What a freaking day. What a weekend. But then it's just, dude, my notifications are on because it's just a matter of time for maybe another coach gets it or what, man.
Ooh, but not Billy. You still owe us some Miami Vice. But hey, before
I was hoping you'd forget that one.
Well, maybe for the fingernails, we'll forgive you for it. But hey, yeah, we got a ton to recover. And here's the topic. You're gonna get tired of me asking you this at some point in time, Shane. Who's the best team in the SEC? Who in the hell knows up to this point? But before we dive into all of it, Shane, gotta remind the cousins real quick. We're brought to you by MyBookie. MyBookie, the online sports book. Go check them out. MyBookie.ag is the website. And most importantly, don't forget that promo code SEC. It's right here on the screen. Yeah, there you go. It's right on the screen. SEC is the promo code. You put in an initial deposit, they'll give you up to $500 in a guarantee free wager over at MyBookie. And we're also, Shane, brought to you by the finest damn Tennessee whiskey there is. Tennessee Legend Distilleries, official spirit of that SEC podcast. And I can tell you, based on Shane's nails, he's going to be drinking a lot of this tonight.
Absolutely.
If he can't get this stuff off.
If I can't get it off, we're popping the cork and we're going to town, man. You know, so be sure to check those out. Sevierville locations, Nashville location.
Shayna?
Let them know that the cousin sent you. Oh, my gosh. Mike, I tell you what. Mm. What a weekend. What a damn weekend of college football. There is so much chaos right now in the SEC.
Yeah.
This is what we signed up for, isn't it? This is what we signed up for. And then we're surprised this team's doing well. We're surprised this team's not doing well. And right now, I can't tell you exactly who's going to be in Atlanta at the end of the year, Mike.
No, I think that's fun, don't you?
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. But I think of all the seasons I've watched SEC football, and this is the most chaotic season I have seen so far. Not even close.
No doubt. And just real quick, Shane, I want to remind everybody, boom, 5-8-0 weekend. Oh. So I have trampling Shane in the pick'ems. Cousin Benny, man, disappointed. The cousin, they still got the lead, but by the slimmest of margins, they got 53 right on the year. Steven is at 51. Shane, last with his fingernails down there at 50. So you got some work to do, buddy. You know what?
But it could change just like that. I've just got to get a little more extreme. You know how you do it? It's like, I don't know how you can get more extreme than pink nails and a stuffed animal, Mike, but I've got to think outside the box to make up some ground on you and the cousins.
Yes, you do. And Georgia, yep. Shane, they've got some making up to do to catch up to Alabama. That's why Shane's looking like a fool today, because the Crimson Tide went into Athens, Shane, 24-21. They own them. How about them dogs, Shane? They're owned by the Tide. That's what's up down there, down in Athens. But, you know, this was a big boy showdown.
Yep.
This was elite of elite. We got Ty Simpson looking like a damn hero. We got more on him here in a little bit. But even Shane with his Ryan Williams lookalike and the emotional sport animal dropped an easy touchdown right out the gate. And I said, oh, buddy, it's going to be a rough one for them, Tide. But no, they were unfazed, Shane. Scored a touchdown right out the gate. Shut Georgia down. Scored another touchdown. Hell, they dominated. They even were using Caden Proctor, Shane, as a receiver out there. Got up 24-14 at halftime. Mm-hmm. But Georgia does what Georgia always does. They crept back in this thing. You just can't kill damn Michael Myers, that is, Georgia Bulldogs. But, man, they had an opportunity late. And I got to imagine Kirby Smart is losing sleep over this because they were down by three with about 10 minutes left, 4th and 1, 8-yard line. Kick a field goal. What the hell are you doing? Tie the ball game. They said, nah, let's give it to Cash Jones and he'll get nothing. Nobody scored after that. So, man, a wild, wild game. But I thought it was clear as day. I mean, Alabama was the better team, completely dominated the first half. I thought Georgia kind of, I don't want to say dominated, but won the second half. But it was a little too late. And here, this is kind of the theme of the show and the season right now. Certainly not burying Georgia, but I don't know who in the hell's the best in the SEC. Could be Alabama, could be any number of teams.
Brother, and this time, Bama had that number, you know. And I know this was a close game, but honestly, hell, we had a watch party here. It just never felt like Georgia – it felt like Georgia kept trying to catch up, you know. And I'm not used to that. Georgia fans are not used to that. And, brother, I felt like other than that Cash opportunity there, you know, fourth and one. That was the ball game, man. And it kind of blows my mind that it came down to that because how well Tide was playing, how well this Tide offense was playing, especially on third downs. It just seemed like Georgia could not get them off the football field, man.
No, they really couldn't. And that's another thing that I really wanted to hit you with here, Shane. Again, I'm not saying like Georgia's dead and buried and we got to move on from them.
Right.
But, buddy, one thing I didn't mention, we had a horrendous 15-yard penalty. They were trying to come back in this one. Ellis Robinson's went damn. I don't know what you call it, but he just dove on a pile, unnecessary extent.
Right,
extended it. But what I wanted to ask you here, Shane, is Georgia still elite, particularly on defense? Because we've seen Tennessee light them up. We've seen Alabama not light them up, but kind of dominate for a large portion. And how about this, Shane? This is a true statistic. I heard it. I had to go and check it. And I said, well, there's no way, Shane, this is accurate. The last 7 power opponents Georgia has played.
Yeah.
This is damn mighty Georgia, right? Back-to-back national champ. They kill everybody. Georgia's 4-3. In their last 7 games against power opponents, and 3 of those wins, they won in overtime. So they could, credit them for being 4-3, but they could be 1-7. And it like a play here, a play there, and they're 1-7.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I can't believe it. And Alabama converted 13 third down, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most Georgia has allowed to be converted in 30 years.
Jeez Louise. And that's one of the crazy parts with Georgia. It just feels like, yes, they've lost coordinators through the years. And we've always said, well, you know, that's okay because this is Kirby Smart's defense. You know, this is I just felt like Georgia would just always replace not just talent on the football field, but talent in that coaching staff. And anybody that's watched these Dogs the last 2 seasons, I don't feel you led the question, is Georgia elite? Right now, Georgia is not elite. In fact, Georgia's looking more and more human as the days go on, you know, and there for a minute, they looked untouchable.
Ooh.
It's the truth.
But they're not anymore, are they?
No. I still think you fear Georgia, especially when you're looking at the records that they have at home, especially when you look at how well Kirby plays one possession games. But I don't know, man. You're starting to see this guy maybe a little human underneath all that, you know? And I feel like that's kind of what's going on with the Dogs. You know, a lot of these teams, which you're going to get to, are being lifted up like Vanderbilt's and Mississippi State's. But I feel like some of these teams like Georgia and LSU are coming back down to earth a little bit.
Now, let me spin it the other way, though. Because, again, I ain't burying the Dogs. We did this last year. They lost 2 games, remember? they won the SEC. Now, they didn't get it done in the playoff, obviously. But is it possible, Shane? Is it possible? Again, we don't know who's the best in the SEC.
Yeah.
Maybe Alabama and Tennessee are the two best. You know, like maybe Georgia's played the two best teams in the SEC. Mm-hmm. And maybe they played the best two quarterbacks, Joey Aguilar and Ty Simpson. I mean, could we spin it that way and say, well, if you go 1-1 against two of the best, if not the best, maybe there's no cause for panic. Where are you at?
I guess you could sell me that, you know? Yeah, it's like that song, Ocean Front Property in Arizona, you know? Just keep, I don't know. I mean, this is exactly what you should be saying. If you're a Georgia fan, say, hey, man, we played arguably the two best teams in the SEC, and this is, you know, we got a win under our belt, and we barely lost this one, and I feel like if things would have been different, we could have got a win here. So, And I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. If Alabama and Georgia happen to meet again in the SEC championship, it may be a pick'em, Mike. You know, that's just how good I think these two teams can be at the end of the year. But, you know, again, that just goes to show that neither one of these teams are untouchable. And I think that's the biggest piece for me, Mike, is Alabama isn't so far away anymore. Georgia isn't so far away anymore. You know, it may come down to one possession games moving forward in the schedule, and that's what we signed up for, but it's not what these dog fans are used to.
All right, let me ask you this, because I think this is trending too.
Yeah.
Is this man, Ty Simpson, the Heisman front runner after going into Athens and looking like $1 million bucks?
Yeah, I don't know about Heisman, but definitely I think playing.
I mean, who's ahead of him?
Pavia. I mean, undefeated Vanderbilt right now, throwing for 5 touchdowns. I mean, if we're just being honest, if they keep this trend rolling and game day is going to be there,
next week.
I'd give Pavia. I mean, he's the true Heisman candidate right now. Ty's close second.
You see what this is, folks? He's trying to reverse jinx their ass so he don't have to walk any extra mile.
I love Pavia. Damn, I've lost so many bets, Mike. Damn. Can't squeeze them all in on one show, you know?
Now, remember we had this argument.
Yeah.
Are they totally forgiven for losing to Florida State? Because, again, you said yes if they beat Georgia.
Yeah.
They're the kings of the world. I said, hell no, if they turn around and drop it to Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to want to fire his ass if they lose to Vanderbilt at home.
Well, yes. Right now, though, I think we're safe. We're in safe space right now, and Kalen DeBoer is not any closer to getting fired as he was going into that Florida State game. However, like you said, you know, you dropped to Vandy, even though they're a top 17 team, top 15 team now. You know, I still think the masses will be back at Kalen DeBoer's neck, you know?
Any concern, again, I don't know if concern's the right word, but maybe like, are you frustrated if you're an Alabama fan that this is what this coaching staff is capable of? And I know it's just one game, but really it was all last year too, where like you can win these. I call him big game to boring for a reason. He gets up for these big games, looks like $1 million bucks out there, out coaching Kirby Smart in Athens.
Yeah.
Yet losing a lot of games. He should. I mean, where was this against Florida State? I mean, if I'm an Alabama fan, I'm not upset, but I'm like frustrated that it's, how's this the same damn coaching staff? I don't get it.
I would probably spin it the other way, Mike. I feel like great coaches make mistakes and fix them. And You know what I'm saying? And week one was an absolute train wreck that we'll never be able to erase. However, this team has improved weekly. And coming into this game, I never thought they'd have a snowball's chance in hell against Georgia Bulldogs this week. Nonetheless, after week one against Florida State. However, I think that shows positive signs of encouragement, man. I feel like you may have hit a home run with this Kalen DeBoer right now, just given the fact where we were even last season. You know, you had mistakes, you fell on your face, and you go out and you get your coordinator back. And then all of a sudden, I'm watching a damn left tackle, you know, run in. I'm like, where did that come from? You know, Mike Bobo's trick play is a reverse, you know, and then I've got this big ass running on down to the end zone. This was just a well-coached, well-played football team, and hats off to DeBoer and company, and Alabama's back, baby.
Where would you stand on Alabama being the best in the SEC? Do you believe it, or do you still need to see more?
Nope. Alabama is number one for me right now.
God, does that mean Florida State's the best in the year?
No, I think if they play Florida State, they'd mop them this time, you know?
Is Georgia two?
Georgia's, yeah, I'd probably have Georgia three right now.
I mean, we're splitting out. That's fair.
Till Vanderbilt loses, I'm not moving them.
All right. Any other thoughts before we move on to the next game, Shane?
I'd love to watch this game again. You know, and it wasn't enjoyable. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't a 45-44 football game. You know, it's not like some of the shows that we're going to get to here in a second. But at the end of the day, it was a chess match between two superior coaching staffs, and fucking Kirby got handed. Sorry, Mom, but Kirby got it, man. He lost one. He took one on the chin, and I guarantee you there's a poster of Kalen DeBoer down the basement right now, and he's just throwing darts at it, just waiting for another opportunity to get a shot at them Alabama Crimson Tide.
And we'll talk Vanderbilt here in a minute, but next week, You already hit on it, game day.
Yeah.
They picked a Vanderbilt game by choice. Vanderbilt at Alabama, and there's one undefeated here in Alabama. It's Vanderbilt. Is this a bigger game for Vanderbilt or bigger game for Alabama?
Bigger game for Vanderbilt. Yeah, for sure. Maybe Kurt, going back to Georgia, maybe he didn't want to be in that SEC championship again. You know, he's pretty upset about that, so he may be playing the long game here.
Okay, all right. Now, another one, Shane. Could be the best team. Come on, Rebels. Come on. I picked another one, Shane. You doubted them. And they just stuff it in LSU 24-19. Ole Miss undefeated. Highest ranked team in the AP poll out of the Southeastern Conference, Shane. What a slobber knocker this was. LSU struck first. Nick Anderson caught that tip pass in the end zone. I said, oh, buddy. If LSU's going to get this lucky, they might just pull it out. No, sir. Pulling out indeed. That's what Lane Kiffin did, because Ole Miss scored 17 in a row after that. Never trailed again. Could have been 24 points, but Ole Miss fumbled inside the five, and LSU recovered in the end zone. Garrett Nussmeier, man, something's wrong with that guy. It seems like he can't push the ball down the field.
Right.
LSU can't run the football. If they can't run and they can't push it down the field, they don't have really an offense worth speaking of. And Trinidad, time to give him some love. Speak about the Heisman. After 2-3 and outs to open, you know, they were successful the entire rest of the game. So shout out Trinidad, 314 passing yards to Nuss's 197. And, man, Ole Miss won the rushing battle 166-57.
Yeah.
Buddy. I mean, this was clear as day. There was one elite team in this football game, and It sure as hell was not LSU.
No, hats off to Ole Miss, especially that defense. You know, like you mentioned us, but just shutting down the running game, just shutting down everything. LSU could never get anything going. They would have a moment, they'd have a play here, a play there. But, man, Ole Miss would find a way to just knock them off kilter and coming with a game. I'll say this about Chambliss. I find it special what Lane Kiffin could do with quarterbacks. I swear he could go down to the local you could go to the local community center and there's a pickup game of basketball. He could find the best athlete in there and make him a five-star quarterback. It feels like it doesn't matter, you know, who's back there at quarterback. They're going to look special. And brother, Ole Miss playing damn good football. And this is a game that it's easy to get in between your ears. You know, there's a lot of people doubting, myself included, man. I predicted LSU to go up there and get a win. I thought LSU, honestly, top to bottom, I still would argue that LSU has more talent than Ole Miss. It's just Lane Kiffin finds a way to do more with less. And hats off to them Ole Miss Rebels. This is a team that nobody wants to play right now.
Now, fans hate when you do this, Shane.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
Because I'm not discrediting the entire Ole Miss win.
Yes.
Remember, I picked them to win.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, did the defense look impressive? Yes. But is it because LSU just can't do anything if Nuss is hurt? They can't run the ball. They haven't been able to run the ball all season. We saw how defensive Brian Kelly got a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think that's because that really hit home. And yeah, I get it. They won the game. He was angry about that too. But, you know, we got a real, real problem here
yeah.
in Baton Rouge when it comes to the offense. I've been saying it for 2 years here. Joe Sloan, he's got to go, the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And if that doesn't happen, Brian Kelly may not be far behind him because we put all this money into the defense. We got a defense now.
Yeah.
And now we ain't got an offense. It's like, what the hell? We can't get this resolved. So I put that more on LSU offensive yeah. struggles. They've not been able to run the ball all season. And now Garrett Nussmeier, I don't know if you saw this in the postgame, Shane, but he's like, I'm not taking injury questions. That means
yeah, I did.
That means I'm injured,
you know? Yes.
And I don't want to talk about it. So, and it's clear as day watching him. Now, that doesn't take away from the Ole Miss win.
Yes.
I said they were dominant in this. Hell, it should have been by more points they won this game.
I agree.
They completely kicked their ass. But I think this is a huge, huge, huge red flag for LSU. And thankfully for them, they got a bye week. But South Carolina at home, you got still, despite what we've seen, we got to favor LSU, I would think.
Uh-huh.
But at Vanderbilt, A&M, Alabama, I'd say all these games are losable for LSU if they play like they did on Saturday.
Yeah. And again, we've been talking about this for several weeks about this offense. And Coach Kelly, you know, you remember him getting so damn fired up after the yeah. Florida game. And you're right. I everybody keeps asking the question, is Nuss hurt? It feels similar to kind of the Brady Cook situation last year. And then finally we just get into minutes that, yeah, we're dealing with something here. So if this continues and this bye is just not enough time, I don't know, man. I do not like LSU's odds, a team that I thought had an opportunity to flirt with the college football playoffs, brother. I'm seeing three teams, maybe even four teams on this schedule that's going to come up and get you. And I wasn't saying that 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, LSU's, they're in a bad way. And you're right, that defense looks phenomenal. They're going to keep – that defense will keep them in every single football game. But if you can't get anything from this offense, then what's the point? What is the damn point?
Now, best team in the SEC, could it be them Rebels?
It's tough to argue, man, just because they got everything right. You know, I mean, they've got a banged up quarterback. They put in a backup and then he looks like God's gift to football, you know, and then you got Lacey out here running like a damn madman. You know, didn't he have an injury scare in this one? I just feel like they're the most balanced football team, offense and defense. And that's important too, because we talked about a lot of football teams like, we're going to get to them here, like Arkansas. Man, we love the offense, but the defense is the worst I've ever seen. It feels like Ole Miss is a true balanced football and playing that way compared to the other SEC teams that are not, you got a favorable schedule moving forward. Yeah, Ole Miss is, I told you, if they win this game, mm-hmm. they got a great shot to make that SEC championship this year.
Right. On a scale of zero, unlikely, 100, but lock, Ole Miss making the playoff right now.
85%.
Ooh.
Maybe even
they
higher.
They could probably lose to Georgia and Oklahoma, they'll still yeah. make it. You know what?
The toughest game is the Egg Bowl now.
Who would have thought? You know what?
Oh, man. With this football, man. SEC football, baby.
All right. Well, how about this one, Shane? This was a tough watch. But they don't care how it looked. They care that they won the damn game. Shout out Texas A&M, Shane. Went on the road. Excuse me, at home. 16-10. Beat Auburn, sacked Jackson's ass left and right. God, I feel bad for that kid. A&M came right out the gate, Shane, scored on a Le'Veon Moss touchdown early in the first quarter. That was the only offensive touchdown of the game until a fourth quarter where Jackson Arnold scored on a two-yard touchdown drive. Two-yard drive it was. And that was set up through a interception by Xavier Atkins, the Auburn linebacker that returned at 73 yards. A&M missed a couple of field goals. They had a touchdown taken off the board due to a questionable offensive lineman, just a hair downfield, had nothing to do with the play. They had a zillion penalties in this game.
Yep.
Auburn had three opportunities late, Shane, to take a lead in the fourth quarter, but could not muster any offense because Texas A&M defense stepped up every single time. How about this stat, Shane? Auburn had 27 yards in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. 27. And then how about this? In the second half, Auburn had 72 yards in the second half. I mean, they are just a damn travesty on the offensive side of the football. Credit A&M's defense, though. It's you know, it goes both ways.
Yep.
Jackson Arnold, they had 125 passing yards. And Auburn had, get this, Shane, Auburn had 8 rushing attempts of their running backs. 8. And they asked Jackson Arnold to throw it 32 times, and they can't protect a damn passer. What in the hell's Hugh doing? I tell you, he doesn't know. That I've been trying to tell you for years. Auburn was 0 of 13 on third down and 0 for 2 on fourth down. How about this, Shane? Auburn ranks 111th in the country in penalties, 100th in third down conversions. This 176 yards was the lowest total of the Hugh Freeze era. Hugh Freeze is now 5-13 in SEC games. And I could just keep on going. But basically, they're dog shit on offense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough to argue, man. Because, yeah, this was a tough watch. But I will say, man, you can sit there. And I'm not Hugh Freezing you here.
Oh, God.
I'm not. But this
they
team.
They were in it.
Mike, this team should be undefeated.
Auburn?
Auburn should be undefeated. You gave me Auburn right now. Let's just say Kalen DeBoer. Okay? You give me Kirby Smart. You give me Eli Drinkwitz right now at head coach. Auburn is undefeated. That's just how I feel. And I know I'm not trying to discredit the Oklahoma loss. I'm not trying to discredit, you know, what A&M was able to do. But there was two times A&M shot themselves in the foot multiple times. This is a team that should have beat Auburn by multiple scores. But every time they got the 20-yard line, it's like, hey, let's do a holding penalty. Let's have an intentional grounding or, you know, let's throw an interception or fumble, you know. It's just the mistakes that A&M made. At the end of the day, Auburn had a shot. It's in the fourth quarter. You're within 3, and your last 3 drives are 3 and out, 3 and out, 4 and out, Mike. You had shots, and, you know, it's easy to blame Jackson. He is what he is, and at this point, you know it. You know what I'm saying? He's going to hold on to the football forever. He's afraid to throw to people. He's wanting to run it. So if he wants to run so damn bad, let's get a better runner in there, you know? let's just go to the backup and go to – let's just do it because I need a change of scenery. I need something to happen. It's like the definition of insanity is doing over and over and over again, expecting different results. It is what it is right now, Mike. And Texas A&M – the good thing about them is last year, the year before that, they weren't winning games like this. You know, the games that come down to one possession, a couple mistakes don't go your way. A&M loses those games. They're not doing it now. That shows big steps, big strides in what Elko's doing there, mainly on that defense. They were just golly, at a time it felt like there were 12 men on the football field. So I will say, you know, hats off to A&M, but you know you got away with one there.
Right. And now, again, same question. And I don't think it's that crazy. Could A&M be the best team in the SEC?
Could they be? I mean, it's hard to argue any team that's undefeated right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's do their schedule here. Let's see what they got up ahead. Because I really do feel like that Notre Dame win, the longer I've watched Notre Dame, because we've seen them multiple weeks now, is more and more impressive for me, especially going on the road there. So, yeah, like there's a chance. And maybe not the best team, but the best odds. You know what I'm saying? I feel like those odds are improving daily as you're looking at this schedule.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, they absolutely whipped Auburn.
Yeah.
But they almost lost.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a great team finding a way. I don't know if that's kind of to your point. These are the games they let go in years past.
Yeah.
That you're sitting here and be like, Jimbo, what the hell? You know, it ain't that Aggies anymore.
Right.
We're finding ways when the offense is stifling. And hell, I mean, again, penalty here, overthrow here, you know, missed. If they just kicked their field goals, this game was completely out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't have a 73-yard interception return down to the 2-yard line, Auburn would have had 3 points in this game. And everybody would have said, God, they pummeled these poor bastards. You know what I mean? So, I just don't know what to make of them. They could be elite. Hell, they could win the national championship. They could miss the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like anything in between, I believe at this point in time.
And Elko goes on. He's, you know, he pulled a, I don't know if he got his clip, but he pulled a Brian Kelly and, you know, talked about all the good things that happened in this football game, because everybody was poking holes like myself about the bad. But, you know, Texas A&M, that interception alone was a 14-point swing. And the way that defense was playing, there's no reason that this shouldn't have been a shutout, and there's no reason that A&M couldn't have put this team away in early. But, you know, they kept playing with their food and almost bit them. And that's why I gave Auburn such a hard time, because they had an opportunity to win this game because fate was on their side, but they just couldn't find any life on offense.
Yeah, and you know who I think Cousin Rick nailed it.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Gig'em.
Hell yeah.
He says, A&M is what it is. Winners, gig'em. Beat the hell out of the next team.
Hey, I'll take an ugly win any day.
Yes, sir. Because, you know, shout out, Rick. First time, Shane, since 2016.
Yeah.
That A&M's 4-0. How about that?
Damn.
I didn't realize that.
Damn. They're on fire, man. They were on fire last year, though, you know. I keep saying it, you know. But I feel like right now, you were talking about playoff odds. Right now, everybody knows I was down on Texas A&M. But I will say right now that those odds have increased to about 65%, in my opinion.
They don't want you on the high train yet, Shane.
Good. You don't want no painted nails on the wagon? What do you got against painted nails?
Give it a couple more wins, you know, before you completely hop on.
Okay.
But we know you're on this hype train, Shane. Shout out them Vols, going on the road, beating Mississippi State in a hostile environment, 41-34. Buddy, was this a back and forth? I feel bad for the State fans out there. They deserve this one. Kind of like Tennessee a couple of weeks ago against Georgia.
Yep.
But Tennessee muffed a punt early. That led to the first State touchdown. Colton Hood, Tennessee defensive back, pick six, gave Tennessee a 10-7 lead. Then State comes roaring back, up 17-10. Then Tennessee comes roaring back, 20-17. Vols took the lead. Later in the game, Tyree West strip sack led to a scoop and score touchdown for Josh Josephs. Tennessee jumped out 27-24, and you're thinking, oh, there goes State. This is little old State. They ain't going to do nothing. Oh, then they scored 10 straight, Shane, to jump out to a 34-27 lead. Joey Aguilar led a two-minute touchdown, a drive with 2 minutes left to tie the game. And then, inexplicably, Shane, Josh Heupel's not catching enough hell for this. He completely botched the end of the game. That Tennessee had the ball, 3 timeouts, and they literally ran out of time. And they had 2 timeouts remaining.
Yep.
It was complete incompetence, and he damn near cost Tennessee the win. But he didn't, because Deshaun Bishop scored on a first down play, and Tennessee's defense stifled State in overtime. So everybody's going to forget that he screwed up the coaching. But I ain't going to forget, Shane. But Tennessee goes on the road, beats Mississippi State. This was probably the best game of the day in the conference.
Yeah. It was blood pressure was an all-time high during this one, Mike. I felt that first half. brother, those running backs, they were averaging at one point almost 7 yards a carry. Tennessee had no answer for that rushing attack. Hats off to Heupel and company coming up with a game plan in the second half, and it just felt like Chapin couldn't get it done. You know, he had opportunities. Brother, they had momentum. That fake punt, oh my gosh, I thought that was the nail in the coffin. But Tennessee got lucky, brother. Tennessee absolutely got lucky. And you look back at this, I'm not saying that Tennessee should have lost this game, but there was a lot of mistakes in this one, right? And the fact that you were able to go to on the road in a hostile environment, walk away with the win, that's something that Josh Heupel has a tough time doing sometimes. You know, we referenced last year's Arkansas game, the year before South Carolina game. You know, it just felt like this was teed up for one of those we're going to drop. And at times, the mistakes, the drops, man. Oh, my gosh, the drops in this football game. You look at the interceptions Aguilar had. Well, that's because the receivers kind of gift-wrapped it for him, it felt like, at times. So hats off to them Vols coming away the win. But Mississippi State's right there, brother. And I thought they would – I felt like this would be a two-year, three-year project. I even had Levy on a hot list there for a minute because I said, there's no way you can go 2 years without winning an SEC game, which they haven't done yet, but by God, this team's going to win some SEC games this year.
Shane, how many Heupel Tennessee memes had to be deleted by these haters out there? You know what?
Brother, I had a lot of bookmarks because of that damn thing you put out there. I can't wait, and I was going to be on some hype reel down there in Starkville. But, yeah, they're going to have to delete those. But I ain't going to lie to you. And any Tennessee fan would not say anything different. Mississippi State's a damn good football team, and we got lucky. Tennessee, at the end of the day, Tennessee just got lucky.
Yeah, and I think that's the takeaway again. No one gives a damn about moral victories and all that.
Yeah.
But I think the big takeaway is, hey, Mississippi State has turned this ship around.
Yep.
And they're going to be a tough ass out for anybody. Hell, they played with A&M last year. They played with Florida. I believe that was the game they lost Chapin. So mm-hmm. Florida, if I recall correctly, they kind of pulled away in the second half, but it's because they lost Chapin. They pushed Texas. They pushed Georgia. I mean, I get it. Different year, different teams. But, hell, Mississippi State's a lot better. Mm-hmm. If they play like they played on Saturday against Tennessee, they're going to beat a couple of these SEC teams.
Yep.
And that wouldn't surprise me at all.
No, that may be Billy Napier's last game. October 18th, circle that one. A team that can't do anything on offense. That's what I look at. When I think about Mississippi State here, I look at teams that are having trouble putting points on the board. Those are the ones that I kind of like with these Bulldogs, you know, because I'm telling you, they're going to find a way. Mississippi State's going to find a way to put points on the board. They got to – it was just a fun offense to watch. It was and a tenacious defense, man. I mean, this was a feisty little group that felt disrespect. You could sense that. You could sense that at that football game. And Tennessee thought they were just going to come in there, big bad Volunteers, and walk out with the victory. But they barely got away with one there.
And how big was it for Tennessee, Shane? Because you come out of there 0-2 in the SEC. Mm-hmm. God, I mean, I feel like everybody would be jumping on Heupel. You know, even after the, you know, two close losses, nobody cares about that. You lost a damn game. You said it yourself, blew another road game. But could this be a catalyst here where we sit here and say, all right, we could play our, you know, C-minus game on the road in this conference, find a way to win, because the schedule – is largely manageable, not at Alabama, Oklahoma. Again, those are kind of the two we've highlighted.
Yeah.
Got to get one of those, I would think, if you're going to go to the college football playoff. But every other game, I think Tennessee is going to be not only a favorite, but probably a big favorite. And hell, now you're facing Arkansas first game without Sam Pittman.
I think it's important, man, to just have that you can't overlook anybody mentality now, right? I mean, usually Tennessee loses these games and then they bounce back. But I think coming so close to the sun, man, and not getting burnt, it helps you against an Arkansas team that now has a new coach. It helps you against a Kentucky team that looks down and out. But, you know, we're going to get to them here in a second. An Oklahoma team that you think you should beat like you did last year, but brother, this ain't the same Sooner team. So I feel like a little humble pie was deserved here. And I mean, because when you go out there and you score 70 points against ETSU, 56 against the Dragons, you know, you just feel like you can just punch your ticket and get your number, you know. And I felt like that's, and myself included, Mike, I am the leader of that camp that thought we could just go down there and name our price. But I got humbled a little bit myself. Clearly, it's humble week. Look at these nails, Mike.
Could Tennessee be the best team in the SEC, or is that maybe a little bit too bold?
It's a little too early. That defense, man, got some work ahead of them. And we're going to have some Aguilar is going to have some help. And there was a little bit Brazel. I mean, obviously, that was a touchdown.
Brazel dazzle.
Yeah, but he can't be the only guy. He can't. We need some help from the other dudes and some crucial drops that still haunts us to this day.
Right. But, hey, if they get better, are they at least in the conversation for the best team, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, this is – they're still in the playoff mix, you know. Yeah. No doubt in my mind. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who's going to stop them? I mean, have you seen the schedule?
I have, Shane. And unfortunately, I saw these two teams on the schedule, Shane. Shout out South Carolina getting that big SEC win. Shane, their first of the season, beating Kentucky 35-13. And man, oh, buddy, I was writing the obituary for Shane Beamer because Kentucky came right out, scored. Their damn running backs throwing the ball at Lenore Sellers' grandfather. And Kentucky scored 10 points in the first quarter. Then they scored 3 the rest of the game, Shane. Second quarter was just an epic, epic disaster for them Wildcats, Shane. They had 4 turnovers in the second quarter alone. Carolina scored 19 points off those turnovers. It was wild, Shane. Carolina had 136 yards at halftime, but had already scored 28 points thanks to all those turnovers. And, buddy, here's a winning drive chart in the SEC, Shane. 3 touchdowns, a couple of turnovers on downs and punts. That was Carolina. And then look at this travesty of Kentucky's where, again, they started fast, and then Cutter Bowley. This is the main reason I picked against Kentucky. It's because they had this freshman going on the road, first SEC start. I didn't think he was going to have his epic meltdown in the second quarter, but that's exactly what happened. And it may very well, Shane, turn the season around for them Carolina Gamecocks because they desperately, desperately needed this one. Now they got 2 weeks to work on it.
Well, it was good to see South Carolina defense wake up, right? You know, and it's like we can't score any points on offense, so let's let the defense do it a little bit. So that's what it felt like early, is just South Carolina defense coming alive. And Kentucky had fight, you know. I really do feel like this was like their game. There's a handful of games that Kentucky has circled that they want, that they must have. This is one of them, and it got away from them. I just, unfortunate. This is the bottom of the barrel right now. And, we're going to get to Sam, and yes, he lost a job, but I don't think he's the first SEC coach that should have because of this train wreck that's up there in Lexington. And this is a big one for Gamecocks. You know, they had to get back. They were on a 2-game slide, and I feel like this kind of gets them back on track, have that bye, get some rest, you know, because the tough football games are about to start in October, Cocktober, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, how huge would it be to beat LSU? Revenge game for last year, the way LSU's trending, it would be an upset because it's on the road.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would be like the biggest stunner. I mean, LSU may have just gotten exposed. Mm-hmm. And then I got a little John Mateer update here. We're going to hold that to the end. But he may not. What if he's not available for October 18th, the next game, and you're playing at home? I mean, you can get on a little run here. This is exactly how they did it last year when everybody was counting them out.
Yep.
They went on a damn run. So this could be huge for Carolina Gamecocks.
It's just a big win. And, you know, just I felt like it, especially on the defensive side of the football, if you watch this game, it just felt like their spirit was back, you know, and they were just swarming around to the football. They were having fun again. I felt like life was too serious the last 2 weeks, you know, and kind of letting that down. Now, on the serious note, Mike, I'm still worried about this rushing attack. They can't run the football, and they really – I mean, they tried to force feed it with Kentucky. Right. There's got to be some more balance. I'm not letting the offense quite off the hook, but man, this is good to see South Carolina playing some good ball again.
Yeah, Sellers, he led the team in rushing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which you typically don't want that of your quarterback, and a lot of it was him running for his life. You know?
But that's what we wanted, right? I mean, the conspiracy was we wouldn't let him do it.
So that's the good. The bad, again, we kind of hit on it. But, I mean, there is no end in sight here for Kentucky. I think they had to get Ole Miss or South Carolina. They had to get one of them.
Yeah.
To reach the postseason. Their next couple games at Georgia. Now, they do play Georgia tight. And Georgia could be reeling, perhaps.
Yeah.
But realistically, that's a loss. Texas at home, Tennessee, they can't beat Tennessee to save their life. Mm-hmm. Auburn just ran all over them, and that's one thing Auburn can do is run the football.
Yep.
This next month could be horrendous.
It could be, but it does feel like there's one upset buried somewhere in there, you know?
Just maybe if they can get Florida,
yeah,
and then get Tennessee Tech, maybe Vanderbilt. I mean, Vanderbilt's got a damn gauntlet. Maybe they'll be banged up by that point in time.
Yeah.
That's, you know, again, we're 2 months down the road here, but that's like the only silver lining I see here.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be the case, and trying to find something, you know, I just Cutter's not wasn't it. I never felt like it when every snap he took, I was like, ugh, you know, just I never felt the warm and fuzzies about Kentucky, and I do like the running game. I do think. Long as he's not, you know, banging old people with a football, you know, he's not a bad cat. I feel like there is something positive on that side of the football, but the defense, they can't score points like South Carolina. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel bad for Kentucky fans, and I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of light at the end of the tunnel, Shane. Oh, whoops. That was a horrible transition. Wait, well, the light's coming with a new coach, Shane, because Notre Dame went into Arkansas 56-13. All I'm going to show is this damn. This is Notre Dame's drive chart, Shane. And if you're just listening back later, I'll just read it to you. Touchdown, 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 kickoff, touchdown, touchdown, end of the game. I mean, that's how Notre Dame went. And this was, truly a travesty of epic proportions, Shane. I saw this statistic. Notre Dame's 42 points are tied for the most Arkansas ever allowed in the first half, dating back to 57. Notre Dame finished with 641 total yards, 431 passing. It was just a travesty, and everybody knows it. It was ugly, and Arkansas, I mean, you just had to do it because this was comically bad. This was like the game you had circle where we can circle the wagons. If we can pull off an upset, maybe we could do something special. I think it really, you know, I think Sam Pittman was going to get fired after Memphis.
Yeah.
But this was the final nail in the coffin. It is what it is. But hopefully this is the worst beating we see in the SEC. Cause I can't take another team losing this bad.
No, I can't either. And it just felt like you had to keep up. And Arkansas at moments did, but this is that complimentary football I was telling you about. When Arkansas did well, that defense was right back on the football field. So it was not a good showing. We kind of knew where it was heading. And the hell with that coach, just rubbing it in, man. I told you, nothing against Notre Dame. You know, I know they're trying to get some style points. It feels like that's what they were doing at the end of the game. They're making the same comments we just heard the week before with Memphis. Like, you know, if they win out, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs. Now, get the hell out. Notre Dame missed their shot here, and they were beating a dead horse. But I just hate it at the end of the day for Coach Pittman. I love the guy, but – you know, that doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the day, wins and losses is what fans want. And as great as Sam is, and he'll be around that program still, I just feel like they need a home run hire, man. They need something to just get these fans right back, because it's a passionate fan base. I mean, we're looking at an Arkansas team that has been sucking, that has lost two games, yet sells out early in the day, 10th largest crowd. I mean, the fans are there. They're hungry. They want to be good at football, and that's why I think this hire is so important for Hunter and them.
Yeah, and there was reporting right before we hopped on, Shane. I just want to share this, but Bruce Feldman over the Athletic, he does a really good job.
Yeah.
He is reporting Jerry Jones, who I don't know how much influence he has on this hire, but he put it pretty bluntly. Jerry Jones wants SMU coach Rhett Lashley to be the next Arkansas coach. And Lashley, if you don't know, SMU is in Dallas. So Jerry Jones could probably just take his chopper or whatever the hell he's got going on over to SMU and grab him a coach and fly him to Fayetteville if he really wants to. So I don't know. If Jerry Jones opens his wallet and that's the guy he wants, mm-hmm. if Arkansas signs off on it, I think that may be your next head coach.
I'll take it, just so he doesn't tell me how great the ACC is anymore. You know.
So, again, this will take twists and turns, I'm sure, but
yeah.
that's interesting, you know?
No, I mean, hey, whatever. You know, Tyson Chicken got involved for the basketball coach. So if Jerry Jones got to get involved for the football coach, I don't care, as long as we bring in a proven winner.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a winner, Shane, how about them Commodores? Get your walking shoes ready, Shane, because Vanderbilt beat Utah State 55-35. How about this, Shane, in just the first half?
Yeah.
Old Diego, your Heisman front runner, 15-17 passing, 170 yards, 3 TDs, 59 yards rushing, led the team with another score. He finished with 321 yards, 5 touchdowns. He led the team in rushing, like I said. This is the first time, Shane, Vanderbilt scored 50 points in back-to-back games since 1915. So over 100 years, Vandy has now won each of its first 5 games by 20 or more points. That's the third longest streak to begin a season in SEC history. Not Vanderbilt history. SEC history. Is Vanderbilt the best team in the SEC? I mean, it's fair to throw that out there, I feel like.
It is. I mean, it's tough to argue any 5-0 teams, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this is a big game. There's a reason game day's, you know, choosing. I mean, that's wild, Mike. We're at a point where they're going to a Vanderbilt football game. It just shows you how far this program has come. And, oh, my gosh, all I can think about is 2 miles. So, I just for those that haven't been paying attention, the bet was 4.5. And I said that ain't going to hit it. Vanderbilt's going to fall flat on their face. And any win over 4.5, I'd do 2 miles. So I'm down 2 miles right now that I've got to do for Pavian, boys. But I'm going to do it, Mike. And this wasn't a pretty game. This was actually a really ugly game. There was a time it just seemed like they couldn't get off the football field because of special team situation. And I won't get you started on that one. But I really do feel like this is a Coach Lee game at halftime adjustments. When they came out that third quarter, they were electric. It was like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It was two different football teams. They came out there and they put these guys away. So, yeah, Pavi's playing out of his damn mind. 5 touchdowns in this one. That's ties the school record. And they're playing great, man. I cannot wait for this Alabama-Vanderbilt matchup.
We got a lot of the whole week to talk about it, but it's probably the best game in the conference this weekend. You know what?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be great. Get the ants and the sledgehammers ready, you know?
I'm sure that'll be playing in the Vandy facility all week. You know what?
Speaking of nails.
And speaking of winning, Shane, MIC 5-0.
Yep.
Missouri crushed UMass and just absolutely blew the doors off. I mean, it was kind of an ugly game. They scored right out the gate, but it was 14-6 in the second quarter. I don't know. I got to go back and really dive into this one because it was on late with some of the other games. But this was kind of a ho-hum game. This was a play with your food type game,
yep,
where I think they could have won by 100 and they only won by 30 something. And we're, I think Missouri is so good at this point where they're like, you got to win by more than 30 something points. That's unacceptable up here in Columbia. You know what?
That's exactly right. And this was kind of a, God, it was a boring game. I mean, it was, they got the job done at the end of the day, but I'm watching my quarterback take hits late in the third quarter. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? They finally put them away. It was good to get the backups in there in the fourth quarter, because I told you that should have been the ultimate goal here, is health and rest. They got the bye week, and then they have Alabama the week after. So that's what this should have been. There was just some dumb mistakes early in this game, and I felt like maybe they thought they could pick their score here, and UMass gave them a little bit of a run, but it was no doubt in my mind who was going to win this game, who the better team was.
Hey, shout out Alexander, Minutemen holding up to their name. It was a game for a minute.
I like it.
And I love this idea from Charles, live stream the walk, Shane.
Yeah, I thought about that. I was afraid that you guys wouldn't believe me if I just said, you know, just put some water in my face. Oh, my gosh, Pavia walk. It was over, you know.
Wait, and then, hey, same thing I'm asking about all these teams.
Yeah.
Missouri, best team in the SEC. I mean, you could easily make the case for them.
I can't. I mean, honestly, Mike, they've done nothing but prove that they can win football games, you know? So, right. And again, I know you look at the opponents, but, you know, South Carolina, I didn't think was a bad football team, but they made them look bad. And, you know, but they're looking for that big game. That's the Alabama matchup. That's kind of the real temperature gauge for Mizzou. And, you know, honestly, we're going to find out next week or the week after. And if they beat Bama or if brother, I mean, it's tough to argue right now, because you talk about balance, what I was mentioning to Ole Miss earlier,
mm-hmm,
defense, passing, running. Ain't nobody doing it better than Mizzou right now.
Right. All right. Hey, so I promised a little update. I'm sure most of the Oklahoma fans have already seen this, but
yep,
just for the SEC, shout out Matt Zinich. He's been on the show. He does a hell of a job for, mm-hmm, CBS. How about this, Shane? The feeling is John Mateer's surgery performed by Dr. Stephen Shin, who's already an Oklahoma legend, Shane, went well. It's too early to tell how realistic this is, but there seems to be at least an outside chance Mateer could be back as early as Texas, October 11th. So that's straight from Matt Zinich. Thoughts on that? And then naturally, I got to ask a question, Shane.
Yeah.
Is Oklahoma the best team in the SEC?
Well, you remember right now I told you there's somebody sitting in that two spot. Well, it's this team. And if they got a healthy John Mateer back, yeah, right now, the way they're playing.
Why not the one spot, though?
That's Alabama.
Defense is elite. Better Alabama's.
Nah, Bama
better
right
quarterback
now
than Alabama.
Well, if you want to split hairs, these two teams will face in the SEC championship. We'll find out. So I got them at
the
two spot right now.
Well, they face in the regular season, too.
Well, they may face three, two. You know, they may have to meet in the playoffs. Be like at, we were talking about, who was it, Georgia and Texas last year. What if they play three times, you know? Yeah, we keep playing this game as many times as you like. I think that's going to be a clash of titans, if you will.
Now, what if, Shane, what if?
Mm-hmm.
I know I've talked a lot of trash. I just like to talk trash, Shane. I don't know if you picked up on this or not, but the one team we haven't even discussed, we haven't even mentioned her name, Shane.
Yeah.
Could very well be the best team in the SEC. Texas. Any shot, Texas. I mean, it just took them a month to get their foot. We'll find out for real. They're going to get into conference here. But, I mean, they have to be inconsiderate. They're undefeated in the SEC, at least.
Crazy thing is, if you're not a Texas fan, you ain't watched these bastards since week one. You almost forgot they're in the SEC. You know what I'm saying? Who watched the same? I mean, we picked on them during the UTEP, and there's plenty of memes floating around there. But honestly, nobody has watched any of this football team. And, you know, I think they do have, if not close to it, maybe the best defense in the country. Obviously, Arch got fired up during that Sam Houston game. Maybe he took that step forward, but at the end of the day, Texas hasn't earned the respect because they've not played since week one, in my opinion. So that they can get, they'll have their shot with the Florida Gators there.
Yeah. I'm just saying, don't count them out.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I completely forgot about them. You know, it's just, we're talking about all these games that are actually happening, some big marquee games, you know. Right. And Texas is going to get theirs. They're going to have plenty of shots here in the next few weeks.
Okay. Final thing, Shane. We love to do the opening lines.
Yeah.
And we don't have that many great games. A lot of teams on a bye this week. So shout out opening lines, Shane. Kent State at Oklahoma.
Ooh.
No John Mateer, of course. What do you think is the opening line? Oklahoma hosting Kent State.
Oklahoma 31.
You do hate the Sooners. Oklahoma 42.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, the rest, Shane, thankfully. Conference games. So yes. We're going to have some fun here. Mississippi State at mighty Texas A&M. What's the opening line?
Give me A&M 11.
Damn, you about nailed it. 12
Ooh.
Was the opening line in favor of Texas A&M. Kentucky at Georgia, Shane. And remember, I know it's funny to say, we do this every year. Georgia's going to whoop her ass. Georgia, you know, Kentucky yeah. sucks. And Kentucky plays these bastards better than anybody for some reason. What's the opening line?
20, Georgia.
Absolutely nailed it. Georgia by 20. All right, Vanderbilt, Shane. Game of the week at Alabama College Game Day. What's the opening line?
Bama 14.
12.
Damn.
But you were close. And then last.
Yeah.
Mighty Texas. SEC Nation going down to Florida. They were really out of options. Florida. Both these teams coming off a bye, so at least they're rested. Texas at Florida. What's the spread?
Give me Texas 13 and a half.
Seven.
Ooh.
No love for Texas. The odds makers forgot about them, too. You know what?
Do they got all the SEC games at 3:30 and we can't watch anything? Surely they divided this up a little bit better.
The one early game, three in the afternoon, and one night game.
Damn. You know,
why can't they double up one window?
Well, it's like we had such a great 3:30 window.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, yesterday, it's like, couldn't we push one of these into this week, you know? So if you get married, I guess this is the weekend to do it.
Hey, and we had all kinds of donations. I don't want to leave any of them off. So shout out.
Legend, Cousin JR has done it again.
Yeah.
And I was keeping note of it in real time, Shane. JR gifted to Daniel Slayton. Daniel, welcome
to the family.
And then we got Eric S., Shane. I think it was. Let me double check real quick. This was funny. Mike's Big Hairy Spider. He gifted to Chuck Bell. Chuck,
welcome to the family.
And shout out to Token. He said, hey, cousin. Howdy, Taddy called it. How about them ribs?
Yeah. Look
pretty damn good to me. Truman, if already had Bama or Georgia jersey on, he'd be the Heisman frontrunner. Media's lazy, says they want parity, then fights it at every turn. This is, to me, Shane, this is these Mizzou fans who got this giant stick up their ass about no one likes them. I mean, who gives a fuck? Just go win your games and quit your bitching. Like Shane said at Media Days, when remember we were on Paul Feinbaum, he said, why's everybody talking about the schedule? Who cares? Just win the damn games. If Ahmad Hardy was at Alabama or Georgia, that's asinine to say he would be the Heisman front runner. They don't give the Heisman to running backs. They just don't.
No.
Do you know the last running back to win a Heisman, Shane?
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, you nailed it. That was like fucking 15 years ago. You know what I mean? Like it.
His grandkids are playing ball now, you know?
we got to get off this. He's an elite player.
Yeah.
Run for 300 yards on Bama. He will be a Heisman front runner. But until then, you lose me at that. All right, shout out Eric. He gave 5 memberships. Shane, Buzzkiller. Cool name. Dane M. K. $ Childs Kediner, and Phil. You've all been gifted. Welcome.
Welcome to the family.
And then the legend, Stephen F. He's feeling it right now, Shane. Showing
up. Steven up.
Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
Hey, gifted Shane to Jason Jensen. Jason, welcome.
Welcome to the family.
J.D. War Damn Eagle. Sorry about your team, brother. He gifted to Wyatt Robinson. Wyatt,
welcome to the family.
And Storm Chaser, Shane, gifted. Oh, I want to highlight him. Storm Chaser gifted 5 memberships, Shane, to Matt Flynn, Chris Bros, Alex Schiller, Tony Simmons, and Andrew Coate.
Welcome to the family.
We appreciate you. We had P5 Crowdy. SEC Mike said it best. Mizzou looked like they were playing with their food. Bye week to get to Bama. Hope they travel poor. That's all this was. They didn't want to put anything on tape for Bama. You know what?
That's nailed it. Nailed it. Absolutely.
And then Dustin, he gave us $5. As an Arkansas fan in the transfer portal, Ole Miss and Vandy are my teams the rest of the season. Shout out. Appreciate you. Token, $5 more. Ole Miss, hotty tatty. I caught it. Mike and Shane, Token's, he's damn fired up. Brandon Riley, 11-1, Ole Miss record.
Possibly.
Give me 10-2. I think 10-2.
I'm still going 10-2 myself, but 11-1 would not. I'd say 70% chance of going 11-1.
Any chance there's a quarterback drama? Locker room, division?
First loss. Yeah, yeah. First loss, it's going to pop up. Then we're going to have a little quarterback controversy.
I don't want to go there. All right. How about JD? Appreciate you.
I did find it funny that Lane Kiffin was asked about that freshman receiver, you know, and the first thing he did, he was talking about how good he was. And then he was like, absolutely sucked, you know, basically, because he realized that somebody was going to pay him money to come to the school.
Shout out JD, Shane. Can we fire Hugh Freeze and forfeit the Georgia game? My wife's a Georgia fan. I'll never hear the end. House divided.
Oh, man.
Can he win them back with a win? I mean,
Yeah. Just like Kalen DeBoer did. You beat Georgia, that buys you a lot of room, you know. So, and I'm not saying Hugh Freeze is completely out, but the problem is,
I think he is.
Yeah, I mean, you start pairing it with some of these games that are coming up. We knew that they had to get these because that the back half of the schedule is extremely tough, you know. So,
right.
So yeah, I feel like a Georgia win would definitely help out.
David Chambers calling it now. Ole Miss wins in Georgia, buddy. If they do that, 11-1 indeed. You know what?
I thought you were going to do a bet. Be careful. No. Bets are going really bad right now, Mike.
T.A. Irvin, Thorne turnovers, Arnold sacks, nothing changes. Mo drinking, M-I-Z-Z-O-U, Hardy is a beast.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely. Roberts looked good, too.
Stringer Films, I was waiting for Lou Holtz to come out. Did you see old Lou at the game?
Yeah, man. He's gotten old, hadn't he? I feel bad.
Yeah.
But somebody posted his resume underneath, you know, when the Saves job opened up.
Shout out Michael Zhang. What a question here, Shane. I would like your boys' opinion. What's the toughest game left for each SEC contender? Gave us $10, Shane. Alabama, toughest game. Where do you think? I think it would probably be
Mizzou on the road. No, yeah, Mizzou
I'm
on the road.
I'm going to say Oklahoma.
Okay.
Provided John Mateer's back in 100%. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How about Georgia? I think the toughest game, or probably Texas.
Texas, yeah.
Okay. LSU, they're still a contender, right? But at Bama, we'll probably eliminate them from that.
Yep.
Ole Miss, toughest game at Georgia?
At Georgia, easy, yeah.
Or maybe at Oklahoma, but I'll lean Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, toughest game?
At Bama. Alabama.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tennessee? At Bama?
At Bama, yeah.
Texas?
At Georgia.
Yeah. I'd say Oklahoma. If Mateer's back, because that's damn hero ball there. A&M?
At Texas.
I'm going to say at LSU. Okay. And then Vanderbilt?
At Tennessee.
I knew you were going to say that. Who's worse, Arch? Or DJ?
DJ.
Yeah, I hate to say it. So, DJ. Yeah. And then shout out last one, Shane. Josh, appreciate you. Steven Upp's a true warrior. Hung in there after week one loss. Now his Tide will play the Aggies in the SEC championship. Shout out Josh and Steven Upp.
See what happens when you gift memberships. Good things come back, you know?
Hey, yeah, that's true. I mean, Georgia's dominant. Texas A&M's kicking
ass.
I'm
just saying. Just saying.
All right, buddy, anything else before we hop off the line?
Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning, 7:30, SEC Hangover. We're going to go over some of this fun content that happened over the weekend. If you saw anything that would like to be included, be sure to tag me on X or send it to Gmail, thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. But I look forward to seeing everybody bright and early, and we've got us along. We got to go back to the grind, man, but it was awesome college football action, and even next weekend, it looks like it's not going to be as exciting, but damn, as soon as I say that, we may have an upset or two, so I'm looking forward to that. Have those notifications on, because if another coach gets fired, by God, we'll be the ones jumping on and letting you tell what we think about it.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so Stephen will be back tomorrow night, 7 yep. o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, and the Marler Monday. That'll be some random time in the middle of the day, too. So be on the lookout for all that content tomorrow. We'll keep you locked in. We appreciate each and every one of you. Have a good one. We'll catch you in the morning.
See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.